think so. All right. I think we're up to Sif Lamed Aleph, if I recall correctly. So Sif Lamed Aleph is this fundamental machlokes between the Ravid and the Rush. It starts with the Gemara in Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, if you can find it. Amar Rava, Ishal Otamar al Gabi Klichers, V'titpol Sabar of Kana Lameimer, Taim Amai Mishum Zeras Merchat Saos, Ha al Gabi Silta Shaper Dami. Amar Yuchana Miyarda, Hasan Taim Amai Mishum Debois, Silta Nami Baisa. Okay, you can't tovel on top of an upside down, or top of a upside down, you know, on the standing on the round part, not in, but on top of a Klicheris. Rav originally thought it was because Xeris Merchat Saos, Xera up to. You stand on top of the klicheris, obviously you can't make a bath out of an upside-down klicheris, but if you confuse the right-side-up klicheris, then someone will just think they can go into a tolish bathtub. So therefore, and they say no, because it's because you're afraid. You might not total properly because you're afraid of falling, and therefore it applies not only to an upside-down klicheris, which is a kli, but even to a block of wood, which is not a kli. So one thing that's clear from the Maskana of the Gemara is that anything high is aser mishum pachad, right? Xeris pachad. That's ba'isa, right? A woman's not allowed to stand on anything high in the mikvah, even if it has nothing to do with kalim. Let's say the mikvah is just built on a funny kind of floor that has these ridges that go up. She can't stand on anything high and scary because she won't tumble properly because she is scared. However, it seems from the Maskana of the Gemara like there's no Xeris Merchatzos. Right? The Havmin was Xeris Merchatzos. Again, what's a Merchatz? A Merchatz is Mayim Shuvim. Is that, okay, we're knocking into all of Hilchos Mikvos now, but at the very least, if you just take a big tub, a big barrel, and fill it with water and go tovel in it, that's obviously possible. Because it's Mayim Shuvim. Okay, even maybe you may have more than that. It's more cases than that are possible, but at the very least. So it sounds like there's no Xeris Merchat Saos. The question is, where to go with this? And here we have three opinions. Xeris Merchat Saos. The most makel opinion is the Rush, not as the Beis Yosef at one point thinks that maybe the Rush means something different, but a Pashup shot of the Rush says there is no such thing. There is no Xeris Merchat Saos. That was the Havamina in the Gemara. That was because of Xeris Merchat Saos. Obviously, a real Merchatz that's not a mikvah is obviously possible. But there's no Xera of standing on a kli in a real mikvah. You just stand on a kli in a real mikvah. That's not a problem. Midoraisa, because you're still in a mikvah. Who cares that you're standing on something? And it's not a problem. Xeris Merchat Saos, that was only a Havamina. The radical other end of the spectrum, it's not clear that there's any Rishon who holds the radical other end of the spectrum, but the radical other end of the spectrum is what the Bach claims Rashi and Tosfos holds, although not for terribly convincing reasons, and what the Beis Yosef has a Havamina in the middle between the beginning and the end. He has a Havamina the Rush holds for a totally different reason. So, Bach, Bidas Rashi v'Tosfos, right? The Shach put in this Bach. And the Rush, Lefi Havamina, De Beis Yosef, Gam Savar Kach, but not for the same reason, so we're going to just leave it in parentheses. He had a Havamina that the Rush was super. He says, nope.
Did I miss two?
No, you didn't miss two. That's why we have a board.
Okay,
even Achorei Klicheres is usher because of Xeras Merchatzos. Oh, that was only the Hav Mina in the Gemara? No, the Bach says that Rashi and Tosfos read the Hav Mina differently. They read the Maskana differently. It's not that the Hav Mina is Xeras Merchatzos, the Maskana is Ba'isas, Xeras Pachat. No, the Hav Mina is Xeras Merchatzos, and the Maskana is there's Xeras Merchatzos and also Xeras Pachat. Not the Hav Mina, the Maskana, the Hav Mina is wrong. The Maskana is that there are two things that are right. So here, you're saying, what is the Hav Mina is Xeras Merchatzos. The Pashup Shah is the Maskana is only Xeras Pachat. But Bach thinks that Rashi and Tosfos hold, even though he doesn't have a great reason. All the other Achronim say, not only don't we pass like that, no Rishon ever held that. He says the Maskana is that there's two Xeros. Xeros Merchatzos and Xeros Pachat. Okay. Yes?
It's also what I thought the right did.
No. It's almost. Okay. Two is the right. The Ravid reads the Maskana like, you'll tell me if I'm wrong after I say over the Ravid. I could be wrong. The Ravid reads the Maskana like everyone. Meaning, any Rishonim we have who actually we know what they say, not just someone theorizing, reads the Maskana the same way. There's only Xeras Pachad in the case of Achorei Klicheres. The Ravid admits that in the case of Achorei Klicheres, there is only Xeras Pachat. And the Maskana of the Gemara Daf Samach Bav Amud Beis is that there's no Xeras Merchatzos, there's only Xeras Pachat, Achorei Klicheres only Pachat, and a block of wood is only Pachat. But, says the Ravid, he comes from left field, and he says, but, other cases have Xeras Merchatzos based on the Mishnah in Mikvaos, which has nothing to do with this Gemara in Nida. That's what the Rabbi said. The Gemara in Nida erases Xeras Merchatzos. There is no Xeras Merchatzos in any case being discussed in Nida by Amorim. However, there's Tanoim in the Sefer Mikvaos. Well, of a different case. So what would the Ravid say? He would say, there's no Gzeiras Merchatzos in Achorei Klicheres because Achorei Klicheres is not Mekabel Toma. Right? So there's no Gzeiras Merchatzos in a Kli that's not Mekabel Toma. However, but not based on this Gemara. Not based on Rava and this Gemara. Based on a totally different book or a Mishnah Mikvaos. What does it say in the Mishnah Mikvaos? Here we're getting a little too into Mikvaos than we're supposed to, based on what we're going to cover. But it talks about a Mayan that you let the water flow above a Kli. And it basically says that after water flows above the Kli and lands somewhere, it has the din of a mikvah, not the din of a Mayan. The difference being a mikvah, which is collected water, is only metahir if it's still. A mayon, a spring water, is higher even if it's flowing. So it goes down a madriga from mayon to mikvah. We're not getting into that totally now. But Rabbi Yossi says, "Well, vachlo yatbil al gabe safso." However, even though if the mayon runs over a bench or something and then collects someplace that sells it in the mikvah, however, you can't tovel your kalim on top of the bench itself. Al gabe safso, on top of a kli, you can't tovel kalim. And he said it's pretty clear that it's not going to be Zera of Pachad. Because it's not talking about toveling people. It's talking about toveling Kalim. Like, what are you afraid? Pachad is only, if I tovel like this, well, then that's like really scary. So it's a problem. But if I'm just toveling my pot, so who cares what it's on top of? I'm just dipping it in the water. So it must be Xeras Merchatzos. That's the only option. So he says, but on a Kli Haro'i Lekabel Toma, there is Xeras Merchatzos. There is Xeras Merchatzos. Okay. That is the Shita of the Raifat. That's the Shita of the Raifat. How do we paskin? So, the well, let's start with the Makabra. Good place to start. Lamed Aleph. Ain tov the Mekalim. You can't tovel in a kli. Lefikach. Or even on a kli. And v'yatit v'makam shetoveles. If it was muddy. Lo tamed al gabe kli eichem akablam tomem migaban. V'lo al gabe nisorim shorin madrosos. You cannot tovel on top of a kli eitz. That is mekabal toma. What does migaban mean? On top of kli cheres is different because the outside is not mekabal toma, only the inside. Hopefully you know basics, right? Kli cheres only mekabal toma from the airspace. All other kelim are mekabal toma just from touching. So you can't tovel on a kli eitz no matter which way it's facing because mekabal toma from all the sides, and you can't even tovel on a board that is fit for tumas medris. What is tumas medris? Tumas medris means there are certain rules for what kelim are mekabal toma and what kelim aren't mekabal toma, and among those rules, pshute kli eitz are not mekabel toma, right? Pshute means without a base kibble. They don't hold anything. They're just straight. Kli eitz are not mekabel toma if they don't hold water. There's a big discussion midrabanan. It's even in Masechet Sukkah. Whether midrabanan, pshute kli eitz are mekabel toma or not, that's what they made a remez to here. The Maran Padva dealt with that pshute kli eitz are not mekabel toma even drabanan. There's one line in the Taz where he actually quotes him a little inaccurately. Says they're not mekabel toma medrash. That's not what he says. He just says they're not mekabel regular toma. However, even though pshutei kli eitz are not mekabel regular toma, they are mekabel tomas medris. Medris means that's called mishkav hazav or moshe hazav, right? Called mishkav asher hazav or nidi uledes. Any bed or chair they sit or lie in, etc., is mekabel toma. We call it doris, standing, walking. Anything they stand or sit on, it doesn't have to be a bed or a chair. Anything they stand or sit on is mekabel tomas medris. Even if it's pshutei kli eitz. That's what it says. Nesarim are pshutei kli eitz. They're not mekabel regular toma, but they're still mekabel tomas medris. They could be a bench.
Just to clarify, I think if they're designated for offenders, then they're also mekabel the other type of
tshuma. Correct. Once it's designated, good point. Once it's designated for medris, meaning it's a kli is only mekabel. Sorry, let's start again. Hopefully we know these basics. But a kli made out of metal or a kli made out of wood that holds something is mekabel tumas maga if something tummy touches it, as long as it's a useful kli. There's another. A kli that's not mekabel tumas maga is still, like pshutei kli eitz, is still mekabel, like for example, a simple wooden chair. A simple flat wooden chair doesn't hold anything. You can't hold water, right? It has a box in it, or bowl in it. So it wouldn't be mekabel toma, except for the rule of medris. Anything which is meant for a human being to sit or stand or lie, etc., on, for a human being to be on, if it's meant for that, it's set aside for that purpose, then it's mekabel tomas medris, and once mekabel tomas medris, it's also mekabel tomas maga, as Elchanan pointed out. So what he's saying, the sarim would not normally be mekabel toma, because they're pshutei kli eitz, but if it's ro'i l'midrasos, if it's fit for a person to sit on, then it's mekabel tomas medris, and then it's mekabel ol tomas, and then it's a problem. The law shom kli ro'i l'midrasos, not any kli that's fit for medris, v'titbo and tovel, mishum gzeiras merchat sa'os, because with gzeira atu, a bathhouse that's made of kelim and that's not made of mikvah water. Avra v'tavla lo also latvila, the assumption is, the assumption of most of the Rishonim, even though the Shach points out, not everyone has to agree, the assumption of most of the Rishonim is that Gzeres Merchatzos Ma'akib B'dieved, Gzeres Pachad is only an Isser L'chadchila. So, Aval, so what do you do if it's muddy? No, Senesi, Chavili, Zemaros, Tachzmeg, Lemadea, Tit. You put bundles of reeds of some sort, little tendril branches. You put bundles of branches, soft branches or reeds under your feet. And that's not a kli at all. It's not even roi lemedris, because it's not a utensil at all. And then it will protect you from the mud. Okay. V'chein lo tamrol gabi kli cheres lo gabi bikas v'tipo. Likewise, you, or rather also, you shouldn't stand on the back of an overturned kli cheres or on a piece of wood and tova. V'afish ain kli cheres v'tam megabo. Even though that's not called mekabel toma, because the outside of the kli cheres is not called mekabel toma. V'lo roi lemedris, and it's not fit for medris, meaning the outside of kli cheres is not intended for for Midrash. That's exerid rabbanan because maybe you will be afraid of falling and you won't tumble properly. If you tumble on these things, then the tefillah counts. So how does the Mechaber pass like Rishi's three opinions? Like the Ravid. Why does he pass like the Ravid? Because other Rishonim also pass like the Ravid. Foremost amongst them, the Rashba. Right? Foremost amongst them. Also, so this is, we should add the Rashba, who agreed with the Ravid. This is the Psak of the Mechaber. Says the Mechaber, on a Chori Kli Cheres and on a Bikas, is only Zeres Pachet, is only Lechachila, initial Lechachila. But on other Kalim that are Mechabal Tuma, then it's even B'dievik Zeres Mechatzos, who Paskins, oh, I already said, the Bach. Paskins like this more machmer approach that even achorei kli cheres is zeros mechatzos. Okay, the nafkamina between the Bach and the mechaber is not so great. How often do we have achorei kli cheres in our mikvahs? And who paskins like the Rush on the page? The Taz, right? The Taz paskins goes out on a limb against the mechaber here and paskins like the Rush. Okay, those are the three opinions. We will paskin soon. Agav, which big Rishon is on the Rosh's side, we should point out? In the Beis Yosef? The Rosh Mishantz is certainly on the Rosh's side, and the Rambam, right? Pashtus, the Rambam, he had a lot of different big Rishon, but the simple shot is, right, so we can add here, plus the Rosh Mishantz and the Rambam. So he also has, you know, fairly big guns on his side. What do those who pass like the Rush, and the Rush for that matter, do with the Mishnah in? What do they do with the Mishnah in Mikvos? What do they do with the Mishnah in Mikvos? After all, doesn't the Mishnah Mikvos say Rabbi Yossi says you shouldn't tovel your kelim on top of a safsal? So what do you do with the Mishnah in Mikvos? Anyone? Remember any sheetahs? That's Gzeres Mechatzos, then you're the right. That's not helping us.
What?
The Beis Yosef also asked that question. Hold on. If you say Davka Klief, the Rosh Zeres Mechatzos, that's exactly what the Rosh disagrees with the Ravid about. He says, on a Klief is not a problem of Zeres Mechatzos. That's how the Torah quotes him, right? So, Lo Chilik Bazeh, right? Lo Chilik Bazeh, the Pshat of the Torah, not that funny half of me, the Pshat of the Torah saying, my father is not Mechalitin, a Klief that's Mechabal Toma, and the case is in the Gemara. Okay, so what does the Rush do with the Mishnah in Mikvos? So here the Beis Yosef has many, many Pirusha of the Mishnah in Mikvos.
That's separate
what? Separate zero, but why didn't that zero apply here? So what's the main answer of the Beis Yosef? What's the main answer? Anybody? Anyone?
Is that the water only goes over?
Yes. That's the main answer of Yosef. Yosef has like a gazillion explanations of the Mishnah Mikvos, but the main answer that he gives for the Rosh is here we have the Mishnah in Mikvos. Now there's only the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, but we assume based on the quality exactly possibly Rabbi Yossi, right? Rabbi Yossi Omer Ubilvad Shelo Yapil Al Gabe Safsal. What does he mean in that case? So the Ravid says Kipshuto. You can't tovel on a kli hamikabel tuma. Oh, it's not really merchatz. It's just on a bench. You can't actually build a merchatz out of a bench. You have to build it out of like tubs or stuff. Okay, but it's all like zera. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he says for the rash. He says it costs a rush. There's agav kelim agav achori kelim. The commentary is going to show the dollar atu tov kli.
Who are you reading?
The Rash is, I think.
Where are you reading from?
I'm not sure exactly.
And then here's the Chachamim ask the question in a mufan that is the same thing.
Shin de gazer atu tochli. I miss either the maisi or the kasva rush for tinokas. Okay, but I still think we can give an answer for that. Okay. What's the answer that he gives in the end? He says, this is only a special case, the Mishnah Mikvos. What's the case of the Mishnah Mikvos? And tell me if you think this will work. I think it will. I think Beis Yosef thought it would. The case of the Mishnah in Mikvos is, what's the Lashon? Let's see if I can find the Lashon. Mayim shehevira al gabi kelim. A mayim that you made pass on top of kelim. Now, again, if you make a pass on top of kelim, that's not necessarily any problem at all. Like, what's the big deal to pass on top of kelim? Like, the mayim flows over a bench. Shkayach, meaning the bench can't hold a mayim, right? The bench doesn't actually shoyev the mayim because it doesn't hold anything. But gzeira atu, something that would hold it. What's the big deal if it flows over something that would hold it? So, says the Beis Yosef, that it's only talking about a case where all the water flowed over the kli. That's a totally different case than Mishnah Mikvaos. That's not talking about what you tovel on. Yes, it is. He says you can't tovel on top of that thing. But that's a very special case. He doesn't mean stam if there's a kli in your mikvah, you can't tovel on top of the kli. Stam, someone dropped a tray in the mikvah on the floor, you can't tovel on top of that. No, that's not what he means. What that mission means. That mission told me a case where it's flowing from a spring and it flows over a kli. That's very chomer. Because if it flowed over a kli that actually, you know, had a base kibble, had a toch, then all the water would be mayim she'uvim in that kli, and it could pass the entire mayim, especially if it wasn't properly attached, right? That could ruin the entire thing, right? If you take the water and it flows over a bowl, through a big trough or a bowl, then that ruins it all. But that's not talking about stop a good mikvah with a kli in the middle. That's talking about the entire mikvah was created by water flowing over a kli. That's a much more serious zayru. We say don't tovel over that kli to remind yourself that there could be a serious psul if it flows over a kli with a toch. That has nothing to do with our case. Our case, not like the entire mikvah was made by water coming over this kli. You just stop at a kli in the middle of the mikvah. That's the difference. But he also said it makes sense because that's the context. The mikvos is, it's not talking about you tovel on something in your mikvah. The context of mikvos is, if you create a mikvah, how do they create mikvos? They had springs or rivers or whatever, and they like diverted the water various places. If you divert the water through a kli, that could be a very serious problem. And that's the gzeiros they're talking about, exactly how much of a problem, what, when, and where. And Rabbi Yossi Taka holds that when you divert it through a kli, you shouldn't tovel on that kli, just the gzeiro to remember that diverting over a kli in some cases could be possible. Some cases being if the kli held water, as opposed to a bench. Okay, Lamaisa, these are the three opinions. Let's just see how we paskin for a moment, but first let's finish the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, this is the Rashba, this part from here on. This is not the Ravid anymore, this is the Rashba. A mikvah that has steps. All mikvahs have steps, I think. If they're generally built down in the ground, you have to get down with steps, right? Though a mikvah that has steps, shal'eitz, wooden steps, as opposed to, right, if you look at any of the old mikvahs when you go onto Yulim in Eretz Yisrael, you see all the old mikvahs from thousands of years ago, how did they have steps? Well, they just dug the mikvahs out of the rock. They used the rock to make mikvos, right? Borod katsuvim, as it says in the Chumash. And when they dug down into the rock to make a mikvah, they dug like this, and they made steps. Okay, shkach, that's built into to the earth. But what if you build wooden steps for your mikvah? Im tovla, gabi yashlivos, if you tovel when you're standing on the steps, let's say this woman's a little short, so she can stand on the step and tovel. She doesn't have to go all the way down to the bottom. Feeling the korban kodli mikvah, even if they're attached, though, also la tefila. It is possible. Why the pshute kli eitzim? Because they are pshute kli eitz. Now, what does it mean here? One second. Because they're kalim. They're kalim that are royal kabbal toma. Why exactly are they royal kabbal toma? After all, Pshutei Kli'eitz are not. So the Gra here explains, there's some people say Pshutei Kli'eitz are Mekabel Tum Midrabanan. The Gra says that's not how we paskin. It means here they're Ra'oi Le Midras. These are fit for sitting on. Says the Gra here, Rizon Olam Dechazi Le Midrasos Kanal. Mashen Kei Be'avonim Tlicheres that don't have the inyan of Midras. Instead, you have to build with stones. Right, stones are not makabel toma. And so, in order to avoid zeres nechutzos, you have to build stone steps. And in order to avoid the zera pachad, they have to be wide enough for your feet to stand comfortably on them. So she won't be afraid of falling down. So to avoid the zera drabon lechachila of pachad, it has to be wide steps so that even if a short woman toes on the step, she won't be afraid of falling. And to avoid the gzera drabanan le'ikuva, that's even the b'di'evet apostles of gzera smerchotzos, you have to make the steps out of stones and not out of pli'etz. That is the mechaber. Okay, now what's the problem? The problem is that all the mikvaos in the old days were made of made of wood. Right, the bottom, the floor, was made with wood. Right, it says we always make nisarn lemata umadregos. We violate this. We make boards on the bottom. Right, we line the not army floors. I mean, hundreds of years ago, all the floors had wooden floors. And what was the problem? How was when you don't you your mikveh into rock? When they build the mikveh, they didn't have such great building techniques like we do. You know, it's very hard. I don't know if anyone's ever done a building project. What's one of the hardest things to ensure in a building project? Not that your building won't collapse. But say you get an engineer, you just add a little thicker to say that the building won't collapse. Not that it won't be, you know, with flammable materials. Yes, they're normal. You buy inflammable materials. What's the hardest thing for the engineers to do? To make something waterproof. That is really hard. It's really hard in building to make something waterproof. What's the problem? You want to make the mikvah waterproof. You want to make for waterproof, I got for two reasons. What are the two reasons you want to make your mikvah waterproof? One, otherwise you'll lose the water, right? And then it'll be a mikvah that you measured. In fact, if you're less than 40 saw, you'll get into all kinds of terrific lumbus. The lumbus is so much fun. If the mikvah used to be 40 saw, now 39 saw, what's the status of everything that tobled in between? Chazaka this way, chazaka that way. But the real life is not fun, right? And in addition, the Lechrona mentioned, there's a din I have to mention. I'll mention this now, even though it's not our topic now, but something that you can't, like, say I'm a rabbi in the Hilchos who's not familiar with these basic Mishnayos. There's a difference between a mikvah and a mayon. Right, that's in Siman Reish Aleph. A mikvah meaning collected rainwater. A mayon meaning spring water. Anyone know in biblical Hebrew what the phrase is for a mayon water as opposed to mikvah water? So some halachos need dafka mayon water.
Mayon
chayim. No, that's not a... Mayim chayim. You know in the Torah some things need mayim chayim? That means it needs to be from a spring, not from a collected just vat of water. What means mayim chayim in the Torah? A zub needs a total of mayim chayim? Okay. Luckily the zub doesn't, or else we'd all be in trouble. Right? The zub needs a total of mayim chayim. And therefore, okay, there is such thing as a zub nowadays. Hopefully we don't have that. Most historians associate it with a sexually transmitted disease, which hopefully we didn't catch. But there is a Zav nowadays. If that Zav, he's not Usar Tashmish with his wife. But if, and here we've got a Beis HaMikdash, the Zav wants to go to the Beis HaMikdash, or nowadays, holds like those who allow you to go up to Har Bayis, then he has a total Mayim Chayim. Meaning, you know, he really have to think about, go find a good Mayim Chayim. A Paraduma, you have to put the ashes into Mayim Chayim. Taras Mitzorah, you have to dip the birds in blood of the other bird and dip the bird and the other stuff in the blood of the other bird together with Mayim Chayim. Okay, that is a Mayim. Agav, in Lashon Chazal, there are two forms in Erevin. This is important in terms of the kulas they made. What are the two types of places you go to get water? And what are their names? A bor versus a be'er. Right, exactly. Right? In Erevin, right? It's the difference between bor and be'er in terms of the pasuk biros. A mikvah is what's called a bor. Bor means it collects still, it collects rainwater. A mayan is what's called in Lashon Chazal a be'er, a well. A well creates water. It doesn't create water, it creates water because the groundwater collects there through all kinds of physics. But that's the difference between a well, meaning a bore. In the old days, if you wanted rain, how did you get rain between Pesach and, how did you get water between Pesach and Sukkot in the old days? You didn't turn on your tap, right? So you had either a bore or a be'er. You go see these archaeological things, you see these houses, and it's like a modest house, like the like three family houses the size of this room. And then underneath, there's this thing as big as the auditorium, which was where they kept the water. There was just a little pipe that got the water down there, and it rained all winter, and that was a bore. And that's where they got water all summer. Or you had a be'er, if you were lucky. Right? A be'er is like, yes, like you have to keep digging until you find a be'er, right? And then worry about the plishin taking it away from you. A be'er means you dig in the ground, and all of a sudden, water comes out. You know, like an oil well, a water well. Okay, so that's, this is just, what's the difference between the halachically? Why do we care? I got there's like one or two like super macro mitvos, women's mitvos out there that actually have a mayan instead of a mikvah. Not because they think a zava needs a mayan, just because halachically there are certain advantages, as I'm about to point out. A mikvah, the Mishnah says, is mitaher be'ashboren avalo be'zochalen. And a mayan is mitaher afilu bezochalin. A mayan is mitaher even if the water is moving. A mikvah is only mitaher if the water is still. Ashborin is still, not if it's moving.
It's not that, I'm pure ignorance, I'm saying, it's not that the other way around also. Like it,
no, it's not the other way around also. No, it's not the other way around also. The meaning, a mayan b'ashborin is fine. This is a big issue in mikveh construction, because in addition to wanting your mikveh to be waterproof so that you won't lose your water and go down below 40 saw, there's a big chash. The big shine of everything is always zochalin. What's a zechila? The biggest shaila in both mikveh construction and totally in natural bodies of water, which I'm not going to pass you now, is zochalin. Because the assumption is that many natural bodies of water and all mikvos, unless you build your mikvah on a well, are not mayan, they're mikvah. So they're not matar if they're moving. So for example, rivers. Can you tell them rivers or not? Is machlokas amoraim, machlokas rishonim, machlokas achronim, ad hayom hazeh. There are slightly different opinions as to in how much of Shas HaKak can you tell them rivers based on the geographical, rivers are clearly moving. Do rivers come mostly from springs? Or do rivers come mostly from the rain? Right? Good question. Where does the Yarden River come from? The Jordan River. Right? Does it come from the Banyas Spring in Sheva Dan? Or does it come from rainwater? The answer is it comes from both. What can we assume is the role? Big machlokas, therefore totaling in rivers is very controversial. Because we have a big machlokas Amorim, and then a machlokas, what to do with modern science on top of the Amorim, as to whether it's mostly spring water, so it's okay if it's rushing, or it's mostly rainwater, so it's not. Lakes, reservoirs, things like this, these are big shilas. What if it pumps a little here, it goes in a little here, every lake has a little thing going in, a little thing going out, but it looks pretty still. Is that zochlin or ashborin? Big machlokas. So what about, how nicker does the zechila have to be? And mikvos. You ever see in a swimming pool, anyone ever go to a swimming pool, there are those filters on the side, right? What do the filters do? They suck in the water, purify it, and put it back. A lot of mikvahs have filters. If the filter's on, is she tahora? Maybe that's zochalin, or maybe it's not zochalin. Every Orthodox mikvah that I know of turns the filters off for tefillah, because of chashash zochalin. Not only that, but some achronar macher, what if there's a little leakage in the construction of the mikvah? Maybe that's a chashash zechila. You know, how serious does zechila have to be? Obviously, if you lose a molecule a year, it's not zechila. Okay, this is very controversial. Nowadays, with our advanced construction techniques, we build mikvahs, mehudaros, in a way that there's like no zechila. It's like spaceship level technology. No, really.
It's very expensive.
It's very expensive. It's like much more than like if you build a basement and want to make sure that your basement doesn't get mold. They're much more mocked than that. Even the basement, you better be super duper careful. Because a lot of people are nichshol in that. But much more than that, they use like super duper concrete. I'm telling you, momish, like momish space shuttle level technology. And space shuttle level prices. They have this special kind of concrete, and they have this special kind of concrete that even though all concrete doesn't leak, this concrete really doesn't leak. And then the whole question is, you pour each wall, what about the seam? So they have special techniques they develop to like pour all the walls at once without a seam. I'm telling you, momish, like crazy stuff that we're macher and zechila nowadays. Obviously, much of that is chomer b'alma, but in the old days, they didn't have any of these things. They had a bunch of rocks and a bunch of dirt, and you can make concrete out of mud and gravel. So, number one, they wanted to make sure it was waterproof. Two, not lose their water. And number two, to avoid chash zechila. Even if they're willing to add a few suds of water every week, it can be a chash zechila. And that's probably why they put wood on the bottom. Wood doesn't seem very waterproof to you, but if you squeeze it in really hard, water doesn't go through the wood. And in between the wood, if you squeeze it in hard enough, it'll be pretty waterproof. Okay, so they used wood, they also used wooden steps. They went totally against this machaber. So halach l'maisa, what do we do about modern-day mikvos? Right? Not modern-day mikvos. What do we do about 17th century modern-day mikvos? Right? Nowadays, you will not find wood on the bottom of any mikvah in any way, shape, or form. Right? And no one would be making on this. But what do they do about their days? So there are three opinions. One opinion is the levush, who screamed and shouted, right? The levush screamed and shouted. Okay, so what about modern mikvahs? No, 17th century modern mikvahs, says the levush, they are psulos, right?
Which levush was that?
I don't know, maybe he found a different mikvah. Not every single one. He probably found a different kind of mikvah for her. You know, or he dug a pit in his house. I don't know. Okay. That's puzzle. Nothing you can do about it. Says the Taz. Puzzle. According to the Ravid and the Mechaber. Right? Aval, Anan, Kaimalan, Karush. We possibly the rush, therefore it's no problem. We possibly there is no Xeris Mechotzos at all. It's not a problem. Okay, if we possibly like the rush, not a problem. But then you have to reject the Achara of the Shulchan Aruch like the Ravid. What gives the Taz the Chuspa to reject the Achara of the Machara like the Ravid? Menagolam. He says we all have one of our repose. So it must be that our Menag is like the rush. Says the Shach and the Maran Padua. He's quoting mostly the Maharam Padua. I never know how to spell the Maharam Padua in Hebrew. I've seen there doesn't seem to be a standard spelling of Padua in Hebrew. I think it's still a city in Italy, but they don't spell it Padua nowadays. I think they spell it Paduva or something. Anyway, you have to look up. Anyway, what does he say? He says that our Nisarim are not really a problem. He says that even according to the Ravid, that they are kasherot afilu ledas haravid. Why? Because our Nisarim are not mekabel tuma. Why are they not mekabel tuma? So first he deals with something that is a little more complex, the Chesed can give Yashir about, because he taught it to Shana Bed guys in the Sechah Sukkah, are Pshutikli Eitz Stam Mekabel Toma. And he basically says, no, regular Pshutikli Eitz are not Mekabel Toma, even those who are Macher, only Macher, very specialized, super useful kind of Pshutikli Eitz that are made specially by tables, not on Stam boards. And if they are Mekabel Toma, it's only Xeri Drabanan, and once you attach them to your building, they're not Mekabel Toma anymore. Okay, he says, don't worry Pshutikli Eitz. What about Midras? Right, which is what the Rishonim were worried about, Lechora. He says, Tumas Midras is only if something is miyuchad for sitting on. Not everything that you could sit on is Mekabel Tumas Midras. As a matter of fact, even if you are sitting on something, it's not Mekabel Tumas Midras if the guy would come and say to you, Amod v'nasa v'lachteinu. It's before all over Shas that if I sit on, I actually take your wooden basket and turn it over and sit on it, and I'm a Zav. It's still not Makabel Tumas Medrash, because it's not meant for sitting on. You say, you come and say, why are you sitting on that? That's meant for collecting olives. That's not meant for sitting on. Right? So it's only if it's Miyuchad LeMidras. And this is not Miyuchad LeMidras. Oh, we're going to stand on it in the mikvah. No, we're only going to stand on it after it's Mechorba LeKarka. Something that's intended to be used Mechorba LeKarka, that doesn't count for Kabbalah's Tumah. That's what we normally assume for Tumas Kohanim, etc. Anything that is manufactured to be attached to a building, that is not Mechabal Tumah, no matter how useful it is. It's only Mechabal Tumah if it's intended to be useful, disattached to a building. Now, Eina Hanami, right? Anyone remember from the seventh paragraph of Bava Kama? Sinor Shechotko Usokvo, Shechvo Usokvokiko. If you have something which is a useful kli, whether for Medris or whether for Stam Kalim, and you then attach it to a building, oy vavoy, that's Mechabal Tumah, that's a big problem. Right, if I take, you know, a table or something, and I take that wood and then I hang it up to be a door or to close a hole in my building, that is still Makabel Tumah. Assuming it was beforehand. But if something's made to be used to the ground, so he says, this is not Makabel Tumah. These boards, no one ever decided to like stam sit on them. It's not like you took a bench and then you built it into your mikvah. These were never Makabel Tumah because these Nisarim were never intended for Midras while Tolosh. Yeah, they're intended to stand on them in the mikvah, but that's not Midras. Midras is only when they're not attached to the ground. So therefore, the art boards are not Makabel Tumah. Oh, what was the Rashba talking about? The Rashba was talking about a ladder that was used betolosh for climbing on. That's Medrash. And then you attached it, right? For Medrash while tolosh. And Rashba only meant a ladder that was tolosh. And then attached to the mikvah. Yeah, a ladder that was tolosh and then you attach to the mikvah. That's Tumas Medrash. But our things are just boards you buy in the hardware store and are meant to be attached to the ground and no one ever intended to sit on them. That's no problem. What does the Taz say back to him? This is a matter of Diyuk Lashon. The Taz says, no, look in the Diyuk Lashon of the Raivid and the Mechaber. It says his Diyuk Lashon is Shum Kli Ha-Ro'i L'Midras. And then again he says, Ro'i L'Midras. What is Ro'i L'Midras? It doesn't mean miyuad lemidras. It doesn't mean it was set aside for midras and makabel tumah. It just means it could have been set aside for midras and makabel tumah. Oh, what's the problem that it could have been set aside? Xeris haroin. People will think it was midras. So therefore, the Taz disagrees. The Taz says, the Xera is on anything that could have been Medrash. Why? Because it looks bad. There's a ruin. How do they know if they see boards on your mikvah? How do they know if those are boards for like people to sit on at a bonfire? And then there were stools that then your benches that then you put into the mikvah, or you just cut down a tree and made boards to put in the mikvah. Therefore, he holds that Roy Lemedrash, the Mechaber and the Raivid, passed anything that could theoretically be Medrash, which is pretty much anything. And therefore, he says, Raivid would passel, we also like the Rosh. Says the Shach, the Maran Padra, and most Achronim, no. The Raivid only meant to passel something which is actually Makabel Tumah, meaning something which was actually Midrash. And that's what the Rosh also meant. He meant the ladder that was like a portable ladder that you climb on, which is clearly intended for Midrash and Makabel Tumah, and then you nail it into your mikvah, that's a problem, because it was actual Tumas Medrash. Okay, these are the three opinions about modern-day mikvahs. How do we paskin? We paskin like the Shach and the Maran Padua, but we paskin like the Shach and the Maran Padua, but what is even the Shach quote from the Maran Milublin? At the end, we pass like the Shach of the Maran Padua, but what? That's only Alpi Ikra Din if you can't avoid it. Let's say it's already built that way. And not only that, it's already built that way, you don't necessarily want to change it, because what's the problem?
Multi-laws
are the Rishonim. You don't want to say that, what do you mean, all the people who live in this town until now were all Bobolita? But if you're building a new one from now on, you should be machmer and just figure out some other way to get around it and be clever and figure out a way around it. Okay, since all our mikvahs have been built after the time of the Shach and Maharam of Lin, nowadays, al pi ikar hadin, it would be okay. But lechatchila, when we build a mikvah, we are yotzei all the deos, and therefore, so this is lechatchila once the mikvah is built, but when building the mikvah, we are choshesh for the lavash, and we don't use anything that could have any chshash of anything similar to mikras. We just use stones and concrete and things like that that have no chshash of midras at all, or we use cheres tiles that don't have a base kibble, which the rabbi says no zeres mechatzos on a chorekli cheres, right? So they can use like in bathtubs, right? Bathrooms, they put those tiles. They can use those tiles. Why? That's a chorekli cheres. That's fine, even according to the rabbi. That's glatt. We don't worry about that Bach. And even that Bach, he meant. I don't think our tiles really even have a toch. They're pshutekli cheres. And they probably buy one to make sure they're true to Klicheris. So this is a principle, by the way, you should know. Not that you're all going to build a mikvah tomorrow, but there's a principle we learned from this Maharav of Lublin and mikvahs, that if you're building a communal mikvah for women, you have to be yotzei all the chumras. That's a klal accepted by poskim. When you're building a communal women's mikvah, this klal is not accepted when building a men's mikvah. Because it's a men's mikvah, it's not halachically required. So we're not yotzei all the chumras. We just have bare bones. This is not even followed when building a kela mikvah. When building a kela mikvah, every hardware store has a kela mikvah, right? In Yerushalayim, the hardware stores have kela mikvahs?
I think so.
Okay. Where I live, a lot of hardware stores have a kela mikvah. Before I made Aliyah in Brooklyn, also the hardware stores had kela mikvahs. But when a hardware store builds a kela mikvah, he's not yotzei all the chumras. Nah, kela mikvah or a men's mikvah, he's yotzei the din. But a women's mikvah, since it's such a sensitive topic, A, because it's a chiv karis, and B, because, it affects the yichus of the vlad, not halachically, but if they need that certain metaphysical pkamen is yichus, therefore we want to be extra careful, and because we want everyone to be comfortable, worst comes to worst, the guy cannot tovel in your men's mikvah. He cannot tovel his kilim in your mikvah, figure something else out. But the woman's got to go to the mikvah, and therefore we are yotzei all the chumras possible, and that's why when building a mikvah nowadays, building a women's mikvah is so expensive for two reasons. The main reason building women's mikvah, you could build a kela mikvah for like 100 shekel. Why is building a women's mikvah so expensive? The main reason is because you have to make it pretty. Otherwise, the women aren't going to want to go. You have to make it nice, And but the second reason is because we have a lot of chumras in how we build it, that we don't want any chash of kelim, we don't want any chash of zechil, as I mentioned. Therefore, we spend a lot of money building the mikvah in order to be yotzei all the chumras, and that's mikubal. What if you're out of town in Ashkash and you can't afford to be yotzei all the chumras? Okay, so you're yotzei most of the chumras. But it's you're certainly yotzei this chumra. It's mikubal that when you build a woman's mikvah for a community, if you want to build in your house, do whatever you want. But for the community, then you are yotzei all the chumras. A well is a spring. A well means that groundwater collects there. A well is a spring. A spring doesn't have to be like a gusher, like it comes out and shoots up like Old Faithful. No, a well means that you
dug until you found
the
spring.
That there's a spring under the ground. You take a bucket. You keep taking out water and out water and out water out and more water out and more water out, and you don't put any water in, and it's always full. That's a Maya. It doesn't have to be like it doesn't have to be Old Faithful. It just has to be, as opposed to a bar, you empty out all the water, and it's empty, unless more water falls in. A well, you empty out the water, and it keeps replenishing itself, because it's tapping into the water table, to the groundwater. I mean, it's complicated exactly how to find it. Okay, that's a well.
Can I just share one?
There are many other aspects between wells and mikvahs, but okay, one thing, but then we got to move.
Okay, yeah, so the note here puts some Torah Khan in the Sulam is Tahar. It's not Mishamish Kalim, it's only Mishamish Adam. So I asked the Rashba, say that it was comics. They said it was because it was technically based Kibo because they put the.
Okay, so well, we're not going to get into that now, but there's a lot to say about these things. Okay, fine. By the way, where's the else did this come up? What we see from here, by the way, is that if it's muddy, you can't stand on a kli and tovel, right? Because of the xeris barefoot souls, right? The Gemara says in Samos Zayin and Aleph that Shmuel's father made for Shmuel's sisters reed mats in the winter. So why do you make the reed mats? So some Rishonim say, because in the winter it got muddy. Can you just open a window? It's getting very hot here. Maybe drop. Crack it open and drop. It got very muddy, and so that they wouldn't step in the mud, he made reed mats on the floor. We Paskin, not true. We Paskin, that's what the Rush thinks. But we Paskin, no, he would not make reed mats for them to stand on the floor, because you're not allowed to stand on a kli. Rather, what did he make? He made reed walls so he could take a portion of the river and wall it off so they could tovel a hefzius. That's what he did. Okay. But you can't tovel on a mat. So therefore, let's say you're like in the mountains or something, you can't, you're going in the lake, and it's muddy. You can't stand on a mat and tovel because of to protect yourself from mud, because that's against Xeris Merchatzos. That's against the Ravid. And unless you find like a mat that's not Makabal Toma, like a Chorei Kli Cheres, well, even a Chorei Kli Cheres, then you might fall. Or a stone mat, not so. So you can't stand on a kli, yes?
Is a concern of the mud a concern of chatzitza?
Yeah, we'll get to it. Anyway, so the big issue is, so what do you do nowadays? You wear your flip-flops, or what are they, all the different things? You wear your Crocs, or sliders, apparently, I don't know, slides, whatever, slides or sliders? Like just that you slide.
Sliders are hamburgers.
Yeah. Sliders are small hamburgers. Okay. So, the slides are how you look at amoeba. Anyway, whatever. Lo mishanah. You wear your Crocs. The problem is, can you even stand on your Crocs? After all, if you're standing on your Crocs, you're standing on a kli. Maybe that's b'chal the Ravid's gzeiros mechatzos. Okay, so that's not so clear. Maybe it's only if it's not attached to you. If it's not on you, it's on them. So, okay, you're not going to have your Crocs on tight, chatzitza, but maybe you'll just take your Crocs off and stand on them, right?
Are we mikkel in plastic?
What?
Are we generally mikkel in plastic?
Even if it has a toque, that's an interesting question. What if you have plastic ones? Okay, you know what, let me...
Crocs made of different plastic.
What?
Crocs made of plastic.
Yes, most they are. I wonder if he has a discussion of this. Let's see if I find it. I find it. If not, then I do not. What? Yeah, I'm not looking under Crocs.
Sandals.
Yeah. Four. And what sif are we on?
Lamed
Aleph.
Lamed Aleph.
Lamed Aleph. I'm trying to mislead you here. Let's see what it says. Here we are. Okay. Sandals. Okay, he had sandals. Right? Wasn't that long ago. So what does he say? He says, "Bidyevit, if you stand on a piece of wood or a inverted pottery, then it's okay. Bidyevit, just like achilu, you shouldn't, because you're afraid of falling. But what about if you stand on a real kli?" So he says, "Sandals is a problem." He quotes the Achronim that sandals is a problem, and so is a piece of metal, and so is a towel. So what do you have to do? You have to go in your sandals and take your sandals off for 1 second to, not stand on them, to like take your feet off your sandals and take a step, and then your tefillah will be kosher. Then you can land in the mud. Then you can get back in your sandals and go out.
Does he hold the plastic kilim? You do it on the
So does he talk about he does not talk about plastic. That's why he says sandals. Sandals aren't made of plastic.
Well, I guess sandals could be leather.
Yeah, no, good sandals. Okay. Plastic is, plastic taka might be okay, because it's not Makabel Tomas. They didn't make the Xeris Merkel Tzolos. So maybe plastic taka is okay, a plastic mat, like a welcome mat. Right, those are all plastic. So he says it depends. If in the old days some rubber was made from trees, then it could be chash of cleates, etc. But our plastic, I'm fairly certain, is made from petroleum. So taka, maybe plastic would be okay. Yeah, okay. So then plastic is a good solution for this. Okay, good. Next. Lemon base. Okay, so plastic can really solve a lot of problems. They still aren't going to build mikvahs out of plastic. It's not strong enough to build something out of. But you're at a plastic mat could protect you from the mud and would not be a problem because there were only gozer on something that is mikabel toma, as we say here. Algabe kliyeh mikabel toma ruin medrasos or kliyeh bari lemedras, but only kelim are mikabel toma. So stone kli would be okay, but not so practical. But a plastic kli would talk to be okay. Now again, you know, how would we build it into mikvahs? I don't know. I mean, the truth is, there are some rare cases where some poskim are choshish plastic might be mikabel toma, but not in normal plastic things. Normal plastic things like welcome mats, I don't think anyone would say it's mikabel toma. So taka, that could be a solution. Or plastic flip-flops, right? Now, you wouldn't want them on tight, you know, or even roughly, but if you just stood on them, or you made sure they were very, very loose, then if they're plastic, which is made from petroleum, even if it's Roy Lemedris is not mikabel toma, just like stone, even if it's Roy Lemedris is not mikabel toma, then taka would be okay.
Is this a problem just if it's beneath you or if you're touching it at the time?
No, just if it's beneath you.
Even if it's like something
separate. I can wear something that's mikabel toma. My hat can be mikabel toma. That's not a problem as long as it's loose. But it's just what I'm on top of. Because that's like zero mikabel that you're on top of. Rather, we don't care what you're on top of, that you might be in a kli. Okay, Victor. Again, it's not even so clear. After all, Americans would be puzzled if made of things that are mikabel toma also, but it seems clear that the Xera here was only made of things that are mikabel toma. Okay, so you're right, plastic could be a good plastic. A plastic croc would be better than a sandal in a case like this. Lamed base. Silon shel etz hakavua b'karkos hatfila. If there's a wooden pipe that is attached to the floor, im ein lo levaz beis buteris lamed lo levilipo. If it doesn't have if it's a pipe that doesn't have a rim all around. Mastama pipes have at least a rim on two sides, but it doesn't have all around. It doesn't hold anything, right? Something that's just like this is not a base kibble. That's pshutei kliyeitz. Doesn't hold anything. However you hold it, it falls out. It only holds something if it's like this. It has on all four sides. So if it doesn't hold water, then it's not a kli haroi lekabel toma. It's pshutei kliyeitz, and this is a pshutei kliyeitz that is not roi lemedras. And therefore, mutter islamadol is she can stand on it. There's no problem of tuma because not mikabel tuma. If it has no levaz beis, and there's no problem of being afraid because it's built into the floor and you can't fall off of it. So therefore, it's not a problem. Lamed gimel. Okay, now we're ready to move on to what your posture should be during tevila. So here the Gemara says on Daf Samach Zayinu and Aleph, if I'm not mistaken, is it Samach Zayinu and Aleph about the Namal? No, it's still okay. The first, the word Lo Titbol is on Samach Vav and Beis. The word Benamal is on Samach Zayinu and Aleph. Lo Titbol Benamal. She can't tovel in a port. What's wrong with a port? What are the two shitas? Rashi and Rabbi Tam. What does Rashi say? What's wrong with the port? No, that's Rabbeinu Tam. Says Rabbeinu Tam, a port is a public place. It's not a port. It just means a beach. Any place where people are. Right? She can't. She has to go to a private mikveh or a private riverbank in a private secluded area. She can't be in a public place. Remember, in the old days, sometimes people went to, they didn't always go to enclosed places. Sometimes they went to a private section of the riverbank. But a port is no private port. It's a busy place. So therefore, says Rabbein Tam, because of she's misbayeshes mipnei her rabbin, hametsuyin sham. And what's the big deal? She's embarrassed for the rabbin. Doesn't mean she's naked, but the rabbin can see her. She just means she's tsnuah, but she's afraid of being caught by the rabbin. And what's the big deal if she's afraid of being caught by the rabbin?
She'll rush.
And it's similar to standing on something that's not makabel tumah like this, right? The problem is that she might rush. Okay, yeah.
If we have like a mikvah lady or someone who's with them, making sure that they're the right, what does that do with these gazeros?
I mean,
we have someone making sure that she goes under. We're worried she won't go under because she's afraid, but we have someone who's going to watch her. So why do we have both?
It's an interesting question. Meaning, what if like there was someone keeping lookout, etc.? I don't know. Even if there's someone keeping lookout, I'd still be nervous.
Someone saying, "I saw you go under." Right,
no, but that's still gzeira. L'chachila, don't do it because you might mess up. We know you didn't mess up. That's why it's kosher b'di'evi. But still, l'chachila, don't go someplace where the rabbim are mitzuyim. Okay, and the nafkamina is it's only aser l'chachila. However, Rashi says, what does Rashi say? Mud, tit. Right? Rashi says there's mud in the port. The port means a muddy place. I guess I'm not an expert in all the different places people swam before they invented pools, but I guess the port had a lot of mud because the boats coming back in and out, they dug up a lot of mud and it was always muddy. Right? Maybe the riverbank or the lake wasn't always so muddy. The port was always muddy. And here, it's lapped off the port. For Rabbeinu Tam, it's an example of any public place. And for Rashi, it's any muddy place. Right? So it's lav davka. Here it just means a public place. Just an example of a public place. And here it's just an example of a muddy place. Okay, what's the nafkamina for Rashi? That for Rashi, it should be pasul afilu bidieved. Or at the very least, it might be pasul. Pasul Rashi, pasul afilu bidieved. Because it's a shash chatzitza. Okay, everyone asked the famous question, how could it be a chash chatzitza? Don't we know it's mefurish in mikvaos that if you tovel a bed and the legs of the bed go down into the mud, then is it a problem?
Nope.
No, it's not a problem because the water goes first, right? That's what we had beforehand, right? The water goes before us and there's water in between the mud and the legs of the bed and there's no problem. So he says, so too, if a woman walks into a muddy lake, there's water goes between her feet and the mud. So what's the problem? So everyone asked, what's the problem? Isn't there water in between your feet and the mud? Okay, how many answers are there? There are four answers in the Rishonim and the Achronim. There are four answers in the Rishonim and the Achronim as to why this is worse. Again, in the case of the bed, where you're allowed to sink it into the mud because there's water in between. What are the four answers? Number one is?
Beds don't have footers.
A person, well, okay, I mean, it doesn't matter. A person is heavier than a bed. Maybe only if something's not so heavy, that's okay. But if something's very heavy, maybe even if there's water there first, it's a problem. Right, remember, we saw such a shita in the Mari Bruna, I think, if I recall correctly, that even if, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, even if there's water in between, if it's you're holding on very tight, you squeeze the water out, and then it's not attached to the mikveh anymore. So maybe a person's heavier than a bed. Their beds weren't so heavy. We have some heavy beds. Their beds are not so heavy. And therefore, you'll squish into the mud so much that you'll squish away all the water. Or the most common accepted answer, which the Taz quotes here, is Ben. Exactly, gets stuck in between toes. Okay, the Beis Yosef question is this: He says, who cares if it got stuck in between toes? There's also water between the toes. The point is, your toes, beds don't have toes. Beds do have feet. Legs, at least, but they don't have toes. Right, what has legs, but no toes at the very least? A bed. Okay, tell the other answers. Also, in case you ever get caught with a sphinx, you should have this in your back pocket. But the problem isn't the mud under your feet, because there's water in between your feet and the mud. The problem is get stuck in between your toes, and sometimes in between your toes is such a tight space that there's only room for mud and not for water, and it's a problem. Another answer is that we're talking about two different kinds of mud. That you can put a bed into the mud, that's regular mud. But a port has strong mud. That heter that you can put the bed into the mud, because there's water between the bed and the mud, it's only for regular mud, not for tit hayavin, right? A port has tit hayavin, a strong mud. And strong mud will get stuck to you and won't allow water in between. It gets so stuck to you that there's no water in between your body and the mud. Like, basically, it's like, fine, if I have water first, then you can put your hand on me and there'll be water in between your hand and me. If I have water first, I can go into regular mud, there'll be water in between my foot and the mud. But what are you going to tell me, crazy glue? If I have water first, I can crazy glue myself, there'll be water in between my body and crazy glue? Of course not, that's ridiculous. It's glue. Likewise, there's some strong mud that's like glue, like tit hayavin, that even if there's water, it'll just glue to my body and there won't be any water in between it. And the last shot, which is also mentioned here, maybe it's only Miss Yosef, is that we're afraid of there is mud on the bank of the port. Meaning we're not afraid about the mud inside the water, the mud on the bottom of the lake, because the water is between my feet, foot in the mud. We're worried about the mud when you're walking towards the water, the mud on the river bank or on the bank of the port. Before I even get into the water, I get mud on my body. Then that's mud that came onto my body before there was water there. And then that is a chatzitza, and that's the problem. Okay, so there are four shitas exactly what we're worried about in terms of the mud. Says the shach, he says, nowadays we're makel to go into muddy places. Why? It must be, we hold like the answer that only the tit hayavin is the problem, not to mention the fact that there are many who are makel lagamre. Who's makel lagamre? Number one, Rabbeinu Tam says we won't worry about that. No. Rabbeinu Tam says we're only worried about publicity. But if it's a private place, we're not worried. You go to the lake and camp in a desolated area where no one else is watching but the camp mikvah lady. No one's there. That's not a public area. That's not a problem. The mud. The Gemara never said anything about mud. And even if the Gemara did say anything about mud, there is a girsa in the Gemara that might or might not exist. And if it exists, might or might not be talking about this line, that this is all for taros, not for bala. So maybe they were never worried about mud. If they were, maybe it was only for taros, and maybe they're only talking tit hayavin, and our ports don't have tit hayavin. Okay, I never checked. Maybe each lake is different. Anyway, the Taz has a bit of a kula. However, the Dagomer Vava on the side says, and this is also quoted in the Pesach Tshuva here, in the name of the Dagomer Vava and the same author in his Shut, the Noted Behuda, he says, based on a diok in the Mechaber Seif Lamed, says, you don't have to pick your feet up off the floor if there's no mud. What's the diuk? The shach there questions it, but the pshat diuk is if there is mud, you have to pick your feet up. So he says, therefore, even if it's not tit hayavin, you still have to lift your feet up if there's mud, just to make sure to shake off some of the mud. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, we try to be makpid. Halacha lemaisa, if you are stuck, you can, meaning not if you have a choice, you're just stomping in the mood to go in the lake instead of the mikvah. Okay, then you should go to the mikvah. Let's say you're in camp or someplace and there is no mikvah. Then you can go in a muddy lake. However, you should try very hard to avoid getting muddy. And therefore, what people do if they go in a muddy lake is they go in shoes. And then
they loosen their shoes for a moment to Tovel. I guess if the shoes are plastic, then you can still be above them. You can still be on them as long as they're you just shake out a little. You loosen a little to Tovel, and really the minig is that people just go out of their shoes. They go into their shoes to make sure they don't get mud. They take their feet out of their shoes, and then they sort of step out of their shoes a little with 2 feet, and then they avoid any shasha mud. If one was stuck, then as long as you don't have very sticky mud, you don't have tit hayoving, and you pick your feet up a little, even if they do get a little muddy. What if your feet accidentally get muddy? Okay, so you try to like shake off the mud and pick your feet up a little and like float and do the best you can, and that is okay. Okay, so alokal maisa, we try to avoid, don't pick a muddy place. If you have to go to a muddy place, try to like wear shoes till you get your head under the water, or almost under the water, and then like kick off your shoes to protect yourself from mud until the moment that your whole body's in the water. And if you do get a little mud, then like the shach, if we can assume that our mud is not tit hayavein, and you just pick your feet up a little, and hopefully the mud gets loose and comes off and doesn't stick too much, and you're okay. Okay, so that is, again, best go to mikvah, or make sure that your feet are protected from mud until after you're ready to yotzei the tefillah. Or if you do get a little mud, then pick your feet up. If it's not super mud, not super glue mud, pick your feet up, and you'll be okay. Halacha l'maisa. Cheski. Sif lamedala lo tipo makom shi... I don't know if we actually do it rent on the side. Let's read it. Lo tipo makom shi shi so tip mishom chatzitza. That's where you come. Elevitino los moros. Unless you put, a bundle of reeds or something that's not a kli, not mekabel toma to step on. Darshi in mekabel toma, unless you put something that's not mekabel toma, also. Bim tavla, yeshomer shalos lo tefillin. Even by the evidence, it's a problem, according to Rashi, even though he says it's a yesh omrim, because most Rishonim hold more like a rebbe tam. But it's definitely a chash, and therefore, the chachila, we should just try to do the best we can to avoid it. Meaning, we're machar like Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, right? That you shouldn't tovel in a muddy place and you shouldn't tovel in a public place because you might not be bedaktik and rush and not tovel your whole body. Lamed hey. Now, how do you make sure the water touches all the parts of your body? excuse me. Lo titbol bekoma zakufa. And here there's a Gemara and there's a Mishnah. And there's different factors mentioned here. Let's start with what the Mechaber mentioned. Tovel becomes a kufa. You shouldn't be totally upright when you tovel, because totally upright is actually very stiff. Because then there are places that will get blocked from the water. If you're very tall and stiff, then some parts of your body are touching the other parts of your body, and they prevent the water from touching all of your body. Velo tishka harbi, but you shouldn't bend over a lot. Because when you bend over, then some parts of your body touch each other and block the water from touching those parts of the body. Ella, now, of course, you don't have to have the body touch every square millimeter of your skin, because base hastarim, the parts that are normally closed, normally hidden, need royal bias mayim, don't need bias mayim. However, you do need the water to touch those parts of your body that are normally visible, that are normally open to the air. So, how do we know which parts of your body are called base hastarim and the water doesn't have to touch them, and which part of the body are called the regular parts of your body, you have to make sure the water touches them? The answer is in your normal activities. The way you stand in your normal activities, whatever is touching the air is considered a regular part of your body, the water is to touch it. Whatever is closed up and blocked by another piece of skin, in your normal activities, called base hastarim, the water doesn't have to go there. So therefore, the basic rule is you have to tovel in a somewhat normal position. Ela shochem ma'at, you have to bend over a little. That's how people often, I know the posture people say, we should always be sitting up straight, etc., etc. But the reason the posture people have to say that, posture police have to say that, is because no one does it. If everyone did it, then they wouldn't have to give us muscle all the time. So
Therefore, you should bend over a little. Until the folds of the private parts of the body will be visible as much as they are when she is making the bread. Right? When you're making the bread, you bend over a little to get strength, because you need a lot of strength when you're oreches, you're shaping the, forming the bread. And therefore, you only bend over a drop, right? You don't go like this. You just bend over a drop over the counter to work with your bread. And you like plant your feet on the floor and like get a little like, you know, strength. So that's how open the folds of the private parts, the base of Erevah, have to be. And under the breast has to be as visible as when she's nursing, which is a normal activity for women to do. And under the armpits, has to be as visible as when she is weaving in a standing up loom, right? Where you pick your arm up a decent bit. You don't have to go like this, right? You have to pick your arm up like normal work. You don't have to spread your legs too much, more than normal. You don't have to stretch out your arms more than normal. Just like when you are walking. There are a few things. I mean, I don't know that we need to get into all the details in the Beit Yosef here. There are at least a few things we should mention. The Gemara says that Ha'isha lo titbol el derek di lasa kiditnan ha'ish nira ke oder umos exetim isha nira ke oreget uchmeinika et bina. A woman should only tovel in her derek de lasa. Okay, you have to figure out what exactly a derek de lasa mean. Gadol. It doesn't mean the way she's growing, right? That's not a posture. So the Rashi there says it means derek hilucha, the way she walks. Ah, if it's the way she walks, why does it then bring me a shuf in the gun? And the gun is also done in the Beis Hastarim. Taras in the Beis Hastarim is not matami. Taras in the Beis Hastarim is not matami. So, what's a Beis HaStarim? How does the coin have to look at you? Right? The coin has to look at you the same way that you tovel. So you can see the revealed parts of the body, but not the Beis HaStarim, because he doesn't want to be Tommy in Beis HaStarim. So a man stands as if he is hoeing and harvesting olives, and a woman as if she's weaving and nursing her baby. But it says walking. So why walking if it's weaving? And nursing her baby. So this is a machlokes in Beis Yosef in the Bach. The Bach says it means you have to stretch minimally like when you're doing your work, and maximally like when you're walking very haughtily, like very funny way. Okay, so he says like the minimum maximum stretch at least as much as working. And no more than when you're walking in this funny way. Beis Yosef says, no, we're not talking about people walking in a funny way. We're talking about people walking in a normal way. And says Beis Yosef, and that's clear in the Shulchan Aruch, walking and working are the same thing. There are two ways of estimating the same thing. When you walk, you stretch your limbs a certain amount. And when you're doing this work, like Orechet and Oreget and Meniket Bena, you stretch your limbs more or less the same amount. So it's just two different measures. And he says, very midoyek, in the Goyim, the Kohanim have a whole, have a whole procedure and all kinds of professional standards, etc. They are very midakdek to do exactly like Oreget, etc. A woman going to the mikvah, that's a very complicated. So we just say, like, when you're walking, which simplifies it. Therefore, there's no stira. We just give them. So that's clear from the Shulchan Aruch. What does Shulchan Aruch say? You don't have to spread too much, just like when you're walking. But earlier he says, you don't have to, like, stiffen up or bend too much, just like when you're doing your malacha. So, says, but he also says it's the same thing in two different words.
Nowadays, you don't really do malacha stuff. I mean, like, if back then it was just a matter of explaining, like, oh, since you always walk, so this is, like, just something you do all the time, we also always walk. Like, a lot of people don't weave or whatever.
Right. So,
it's like, do we have new...
It's a good question.
We have to do the same shear, it's easy.
Right, correct. It's a good question. Lemaisa, I bet if you had asked the post, they'd say, okay, nowadays there are other work which are more or less the same. What about someday, right, when we're all just hooked up to our virtual reality TVs and, we sit in our armchairs and eat snacks and drink sugary drinks and and live on our computers and cell phones all day, and we never do any work, what will happen then? All right, we'll have bigger problems. We'll have bigger challenges. Okay, so that's in terms of the Hilucha. There's a few other stiras going on here. Like, for example, the quote here is, a woman like Oreget and Meiniket Benah doesn't have Oreget. It doesn't have she's making the bread. So, here the Beis Yosef is a little tricky. He's not sure how to clean the Rambam, etc. But he says, no, they just quoted part of the Mishnah. They meant the rest of the Mishnah also. Oreget is for your armpit, Meiniket Benah is for the breasts, and Oreget is for the private parts. Okay, so I don't have a better answer. They probably left that out. The funny thing is the Torah says Moseket. Right? What does the Torah say? The Torah says something funny. He says here, let me just find it for a second. He says,
Kederech Shenira B'Shasha Moseket B'Zeitim,
when she's picking olives. Not that women picked olives a lot in those days. What do you mean? No, it's a man who picks olives. The man picks olives. The woman weaves. So, what's pshat? Why does he say picking olives instead of weaving? So that is very unclear, and that has to do with a big discussion of what about your left hand? You weave with your right hand. How do you have to keep your left hand? Right, here's your weave with your right hand. Right, how do I stand in the mikvah? I stand like this. Yeah. Okay. Not a weird way. Similar to how I walk. Right? I walk like this. I don't walk like this. And I don't walk like this. Why did the Torah bring down picking olives instead of weaving? So this, the Beis Yosef brings. Big Machloket, what about your left hand? What about the woman's left hand? She doesn't weave with her left hand. And he quotes... let me see if I remember who he quotes from. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af ketova pishton the smallest. She is spinning flax for her left hand. So that is, so the question is, like, do we possibly Rabbi Yehuda? Is it a machlokes? What's the difference? So is it that the left hand needs to be the same as the right hand? Just two examples. Is it that right hand needs to be further and the left hand needs to be less far away because they be different malachas in the right and left hand? So the Torah, the Beis Yosef suggests, why did the Torah say picking olives? Because you pick olives with two hands. And therefore, what he's really just trying to say is the left and right hand are equal. So he's really not arguing the Mishnah of Oreges. He's just saying, just like you have to make your right hand look like when you're weaving, the left hand has to be the same way. And the way he expressed that was picking olives. When you pick olives, you put both your hands the way you put your right hand when you're weaving. Okay, halacha l'maisa, we paskin, like that big Yosef shot in the Torah, that both hands are equal, that the Mechaber does not distinguish between a right hand and a left hand. Right? And both hands are equal. The way the Torah expressed that is as if picking olives. The way the Chaver expressed that is your armpit has to be like when you're weaving, and he neglected to say anything about right and left hands, and figures that will understand that both hands have to be like that. Okay, so halacha l'maisa, that's how you have to tovel. Now here comes the controversial part. The end of the Mechavim, Shinta, if she deviated, she shachta b'yotar, zakfa b'yoser, she bent down too much or stood straight too much. Also, let's feel a bit. Yeah, but it's still okay. The yesh mishom shelo alsa, and some people say that it's not okay. This machlokas is not based on svara. This machlokas is based on different gersos in the Gemara. Our gersa just goes through the Gemara. You know, it says this is usher and that's usher and this you have to be machbid and that you have to be machbid, etc., etc. However, there's another gersa that Rashi and Tosos reject, which says, Les Hilchos Kol Hanishmaitza, Chiyat Marhani the Taros of Labala Tahora. All these halachas are only for Taros. They don't apply to Bala. And then it introduces this issue of how you have to stand. So it's not clear, do we have this gersa, do we not? And those who have the Girsa, like the like the Ramban and the Aruch and maybe the Rambam, the say, yeah, this is only for Taros. Like this din of standing, like when you're weaving and etc., that only applies for Taros and not for Bala. So here he brings up two deus. The first deus says that b'diavad it's okay. Aruch husmag ve'rashbeitz ve'rambam. The Rambam is somewhat controversial, I don't interpret him. Many mishonim of the gears that this is all for Taros, not for Bala. V'yesh mishomer shalo osala. Here he doesn't say the yesh mishomer is, but Rashi and Tosos do not. Did not seem to hold in his girsa, and they assume that this is even for Bala. So it's two deus. However, the mainstream deus seems to be that also the tefillah that you would be yotze v'dievet. The shach esakasha, he says that same gemara also mentions the things in seifim, and we mentioned this outside. We just didn't see it. In the Mechaber, also mentions the things in Zayin Ches and Tes. Zayin Ches and Tes also, if you have that Gersa says, are only for Taros, not for Bala. So he asks, why did the Mechaber, Zayin Ches and Tes, put these Chumras, Liflo Shvayin is Chotzeitz, Chol Shvayin is Chotzeitz, and Dam Yavish is Chotzeitz, and Rir is Chotzeitz, and not say they're Mekilim? Yet over here, the Mechaber said that the Iker Dea is that also it's Fila, that it's okay. So that's a bit of a steer in Mechaber. Here, we're not exactly sure what the answer is. One answer might be, the Gra answers, that no, in Siv Zayin Ches and Tes, he also only meant it's Asur L'Chachila. He didn't really mean it's Chotzeitz. He just meant that it's Chotzeitz, and some say L'Chachila, some say B'dieved, and you got this board, right? So, how about the steer between Ifim, Zion to Tess, and if, what are we up to here? Lamed Hay?
Yeah.
Lamed Hay. Here we have Ol Salah, V'yeshomer, Lo Ol Salah. And here we have just Chotzeitz. All those things, Lo Shavayin, they're not connected to each other intrinsically. But they're all levels of Chatzitza that there may or might not be a Gersa that says for Baal is okay and there's only a Chomer and Yerban for Taros. So, if here he brought down both Gersas, and Be'ikr had liked the Mekel Gersa, why in Zayin Ches and Tes did he not? So the Gra here says, that's the Shach's question, says the Gra, here he meant two Deos. Here he also meant two Deos. What he meant was Chotzeitz Lechatchila V'yesh Omrim Chotzeitz B'dieved. When he said Chotzeitz there, he meant Chotzeitz Lechatchila V'yesh Omrim B'dieved. He just didn't bother to tell you. Okay, it's a bit of a dachuk answer. Like when he says chotzeitz, a full, 26 to 28 sifim ago, you would think he means chotzeitz, but yeah, but that's the normal meaning of the word chotzeitz. Not so clear. Some suggest that it could be that he was mitzarif. Another possibility here, that really he was not mekel. Like the Gersa, who should we call it? The Aruch, is he the first to have that Gersa? Rabbi Nochananel and the Aruch. Like the Gersa, Rach, and the Aruch. He's really not willing to be somewhat on the Mekel Gersa, but over here, he was Mekel in his first Deya, Bitseiruf, that maybe even without that Gersa, it's only Lechatchila. Meaning it's interesting, the other parts of the Gemara say, if you look at the Lashon of the Gemara, says, Lo also Letzvila a little earlier, and then it says, Chaitzi, Chotzeitz, Lo also la tefila, and then all of a sudden it says, Lo tikbol ela kederek ve'lasa. This is the lashon of Lechatchila, it's not a lashon of Bidyevet. So you could say, no, maybe there's two stud in Lahakal here. That's why he brought down the first day that was Mako. Number one, maybe with the gear so that this doesn't apply to Bala. And even if it does apply to Bala, maybe it was only meant as L'Chachila. Even for Tyros and Bala, it's only L'Chachila, because it's a Lashon L'Chachila, it's not a Lashon B'dievet. Okay, therefore, the Efshar, even though that's not going to be a complete answer, because a little later it'll get a little trickier, but Efshar, that is the answer. Yes? Yes, so that cuts the other way. Yeah, that's the trickier part. Okay, that there's nothing I can do about. Maybe you could also say that maybe this Gersa, he understood that this Gersa wasn't going back on Zion through Tess. But it says, Les Chol Hanishmaitza. No, it has to be Chol Hanishmaitza. Okay. Anyway, okay. The best I can do. The Gra says otherwise. You could go with the Gra. That Zion Ches Tess, he also meant there are two days. What? No, I saw this someplace, but I don't remember where. Okay. Just one or two other kashas, and then we'll move on. The Taz, in Sivkat Lamed Ches, asked a great question. He asks, hold on a second, what's the problem with squishing your body together? What's the big deal if you squish your body? What's the big deal if you squish your body? After all, you go into the water, you move around in the water, even if I would squeeze my, let's say I would squeeze my armpit like this instead of oregas. There's water comes first in my armpit, under my armpit. So what's the problem? After all, the water comes first. And says the Taz, no, the problem here is only if she squishes herself together before she goes in the water. And then she never releases in the water. Meaning, if she would go into the water and then go like this, it would be no problem. So there's water first. I'm allowed to hold on to someone else with water first. I'm allowed to hold on to myself with water first. The problem is only if I go in squished and I stay squished. Okay, that's a big okimta of this problem. But that's what the Taz says in the end. And therefore says the Taz, every woman should wiggle around a little in the mikvah so that in case she's too squished, there's water in there. The water gets in there first. Okay, it's really the cool of the Taz, that there's no problem squishing your body as long as you wiggled around in the mikvah a little. So what do we do if a woman tovel with the wrong posture? So we have many tzad in lahakel. Number one, the first day in the mechaber is also latvila b'di'evin, right? Based on the girsa that these things are only for taros. So number one, the first girsa in the mechaber is also latvila. Number two, if the woman didn't go in squished and stay like a soldier, but she went in and then squished herself, then there was water first, and according to the Taz, is okay. And the Taz seems to have good logic on his side. Therefore, Halacha L'maisa says Rabbi Forst, that if someone wants to be machmer and go back to the mikvah or go back inside, look, if I was the mikvah lady, the lady just came out of the mikvah and I saw she was squished, I would say, go back in for 3 seconds. What's the big deal? But let's say she came home and then she remembered I was squished, etc. So A, you have to be very careful of excessive OCD in these things, everyone could always think they were maybe too squished. That's an impossible thing. So number one, if a lady ever says, I think I might have been the wrong posture in the mikvah, you should have you ever thought this before? And she says, yes, once 15 years ago, then that's Yerush Shemayim. If she says, yes, last month for 3 days, then that's just OCD. There are some things that are just they call that for OCD, because go be sure what posture you had, that you were not too tight and not too straight and not too bent, and exactly like when you're walking. So number one, if, the woman is just being, or even if it's not OCD, let's just say your Shemayim misapplied, then we should tell her, don't be crazy. But what if she's no, she mamish knows she messed up for some very strange reason.
She knows she did it wrong. Why would she do that and remember it? Let's say, who knows? Like, you know, I, for some strange reason, I went like this in the mikvah. Then would you have to go back with the eved? So again, we have tutzdan l'hakel, assuming she didn't march down like a soldier, but she like got some water inside and then clenched. It's okay according to the Taz. And no matter what she did, it's okay according to the first daya in the Mechaber, which seems to be the main day in the Mechaber, because it's Stam V'yesh Omrim. And therefore, right, 4 says, B'di'evet, she doesn't have to go back to the mikvah. He says, Yesh Omrim, it would be a chumrah if it's convenient for her, and she wanted to be Machaber, she could go back to the mikvah, if it's convenient, and if she's not crazy. But, Me'ikra Din, we can make a B'di'evet, because of the Tzeruf of the first day in the Mechaber, and the Ha'ara of the Taz. Halacha L'maisa. The Lamed Vav, let's just finish up quick. Yesh Misha Omer Sha'af Misha Ein Begov Me'a Mikvah La'alos Be'em Kal Dufa Elam Kepa Ne'a... Oh, sorry, Lamed Vav. Sir, Shia Mikvah, this is not found in the Gemara. It's just the Rashba's calculation, his common sense. Not his common sense, rather, his calculation. Sir, Shia Mikvah Gavomi Malu Tiburah Zeret Lefachot. The mikvah order has to be at least a Zeret. What's a Zeret? What? Half an hour?
What does it mean? Like, what's this thing called?
What?
Pinky
is called a zeret.
Right. Like, is everything or that's
no, no, because the zeret is made like this, apparently like this, without getting to the fact that all of our things, this is supposed to be half an hour, like till the zeret. Does that actually work?
It doesn't mean the zeret itself. Like when we say an etzba, how much do we need an etzba?
No, no, an etzba is the thickness of a finger.
So
a zeret is the space until the zeret.
When we say the smaller finger, we mean a much larger.
Right. In the days of Chazal, when the hens laid eggs the size of ostriches and the olives were the size of standard challah loaves, the pinky was thick. No, it means like this. If you just go like this, I think you have to stretch a ton, and then you go like this, you get an amma. So it's half an amma.
For the width of the
zara? No, never.
Never. I'm not doing that.
I'm sure one of them.
Never ever. Okay. Yeah, I work it out. Not my problem. Agav zeres is a chumash measurement, right? What's a zeres? The choshen nishpat is a square zeres, right? Says in the pasuk. Okay, you should be zov from here if you're making it. It has to be at least a zeres above her belly button, meaning it has to go to here. Why? Because then she'll have to obviously bend a little more than when she's, you know, doing the bread. But the hashar of the rashba is if she bends as much as necessary in that level of water, she'll still be okay. She won't be squishing her body so much that it'll block the water. Okay, that's the rashba's hashara. Lamed Zayin, yesh misha omer, she'af misha ein begov me'a mikvah la'alos be'em kol gufa. This is... I think there's also in that same Rashba in the Rishonim that even if the mikvah is not enough to cover a body, unless she lays down flat out on the ground, like Mamish laid down on the ground, Shaper Dummy, it is still okay. Okay, if he quotes a Yesh Misha Omer without another Yesh Misha Omer, that generally means he paskins that way. Right? So, what if the mikvah is like this tall? The mikvah water is this high. And she has to lay down like a fish, they call it, like spread out korim, like more than most of us do for korim. Spread out flat on the ground, and then the mikvah water will cover her. That is also okay. However, later on, I in the comments in Reish Aleph in the mikvah says that is okay if you don't have a better mikvah. If you have a better option, then you have to go to the better mikvah where you can tovel crouching. But if you have no option, then you can tovel as long as the water is high enough that if you lay down flat on the ground, it covers you. Okay, and that's halacha l'maisa. I don't know if anyone ever did it, but if you were stuck, then you could. What?
We don't have mikvahs or bar and sod or that shit.
Correct. We don't have any mikvahs or bar and sod. All our mikvahs are 10 times that big. You know, we want to make them nice. Okay, except for the kelim mikvahs, but that's not an issue here. Aga, the Piskei Tshuva here in Chaf Aleph, his discussion is just how careful you have to be to give your mikvah lady a ruler to make sure that it's tall enough. Again, that has nothing to do with our modern mikvahs. Any mikvah with a mikvah lady nowadays is way taller than everyone's head, like we make them normal.
right? But one interesting thing he just points out on the bottom here is, Al kol mutal chamor lizar tamid lahazir tamid leisho medes al tefilah lo yismah pashis hira pamachas rak yeragu b'kach. He says anything that's very important that the mikvah lady has to keep an eye on, you shouldn't remind her once when she starts her job and then rely on her to remember always. You should give her constant reminders because she might forget. Okay, that's a good lesson, even not for mikvahs. Anything a rabbi's in charge of, right? This should be before Siman Aleph of Shulchan Aruch. Whatever the rabbi's in charge of in a town, if you're the real rabbi, you're responsible for things. You can't be personally responsible. You have to delegate responsibility. When you delegate responsibility, you can't just tell someone once and assume they'll do it right forever. That is naive and unrealistic. You have to have riyanun hanchayot, as they say here. You have to regularly meet with people in charge of things and just go over and chazer to make sure that they know what they're doing. Because there have been real stories with rabbis where 10 years later, someone discovered that something was totally messed up. And the rabbi's like, right here, I have like the piece of paper I went over with the person who I put in charge of this 10 years ago. And it turns out for the last 9 years, the guy made a mistake and forgot and has been doing everything trafe. And therefore, it's important for a rabbi to not to be a nudge and not to like not trust people, but to walk that fine line between trusting people and realizing that human beings always need reminders and to refresh their memories sometimes.
That's like the Rashi
Mazar is it, right, yeah. Right. Like, don't be Moshe Rabbeinu, right? It always strikes me. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Yisro, right? Hashem says, go warn the people not to come to our Sinai. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? He says, what do you mean? I already told them it's an Ishtar Raisa. Of course it's impossible for them to do it. Why do you have to remind them? Hashem says to Moshe, you're a very holy man, but I know better than you. You think that everyone's always going to do everything right. I know better than you. Not everyone's as holy as you, and you have to remind them once in a while. What?
So,
he built a physical fence or just a commandment fence?
No, I thought there was
a... Okay, I don't know. Anyway, Kitzer, yes, okay, Viter. Lamed ches eina tzricha leftoach piyak de she comes while mayim lo tickle to zios we die. We already mentioned this earlier, even kapsul also latvila. She doesn't have to open her mouth for the water to go in because it's a beis hastarin. It doesn't need to be a smayim. The lo tickle to zios we die. But she doesn't need to close her mouth. She can't close her mouth too much. We saw two opinions as to why, and the main cure opinion as to why is because then the gully part of her lips will get clamped down on and will not get wet. If she closed her mouth tight, then b'dievet it's ma'akev, because that's what it says in the Gemara here. It says in the Gemara, let me read it to you. Does it say explicitly this case or just the eyes? Paskai now be yoser or otzmai now be yoser will also look tefillah. Okay, the assumption is huadin for the elot hashik says of divuk beinoni lo ta. So if you close your mouth too much, then that is going to be even ma'akev because we said there were two opinions, and we pass like the opinion, the interpretation that your lips will not get wet, and that's a mefurish mishnah in mikvos. Sorry, that's not the more here. That's a mefurish mishnah in mikvos that in kartzas ipsosel also latzvila. However, this is not a mefurish mishnah in mikvos. If lava test, this is the gemara in Samach Zayin and Aleph. Pasle neva yoser utzme neva yoser also latzvila. If you open your eyes too much or close your eyes too much, what's the problem? Again, if you open them too much, then you're squishing the top of your eyelids. If you close them too much, you're squishing the bottom of your eyelids. Rather, most people prefer to keep their eyes closed in the mikvah. You could close them gently or open them gently. Don't close them too hard or open them too hard. And if you did close or open your eyes too hard, then the tvila does not count. Why not? Why doesn't it count? This is the same two deos. Rashi and Tosos did not have this girsa of all of this only for taros, so they had the gemara that says it doesn't count, lo'os latvila. But most Rishonim had the girsa of kol zeh is only lataros, but labala it is no problem, and therefore it's okay. So it depends on the same girsa issue. And if you have the girsa, if you have no girsa, then it's ma'ati. If you have the girsa, this is only for taurus, but for bala, it's okay, then it is not ma'akev. Here, it's not exactly clear what the Mechaber is trying to say. It says, yesh omer shlo oslo tefillah. What's the yesh omer shlo oslo tefillah? As opposed to, we have two deus in Lamed Hey. So, it's not exactly clear what he means. You could say that over here, he's being he's being more machber than in Sif Lamed Hey, because here the Gemara had explicit lashon also latvila. So according to this answer, that would make a lot of sense. The second answer here, that yeah, he was only makel there because the even without any girsa, the Gemara only says lashon lachilu. The Gemara never said b'diavet, but over here the Gemara said it's b'diavet. So maybe he was machber, and that's why he only brought one yeshomer. However, the Gra understands. And this parenthesis understands the Gra understands, and the Shach understands that it sounds like that no. Over here, he's also saying there's two deos, and it's really the same as Lamed Hey. So Lamed Tes is the same as Lamed Hey. It is two deos, and therefore, how do we paskin? So let me just chazer the difference between these two interpretations is, the difference between these two interpretations is that what about if Lamed Tes? According to this interpretation, then he shouldn't be Mekel there because it's a matter of the two Girsas, and he's not willing to be Somech on the Mekel Girsa, and the Gemara says, Lo Osala. There is no Lashon Lechachila in the Gemara. But according to this, that he really held all over. That there's the first, there's the Mekel Gersa and Yeshom and the Machmir Gersa. Then here also it should be two Deos, meaning Olsala, the Yeshomrem, Lo Olsala. And that's a matter of how you interpret Sif Lamed Tes. Does he mean Yeshom and Lo Olsala as the sole Dea? And Zayin Ches Kes and Lamed Tes, there's only a Dea Lahachmir. Only in Lamed Hey does he have a Dea Lahachel. Why? Because the Gemara never used the Lashon Diyevet there. So he's Tutsdak Lahakal. The Gemara never said it's Machmir Diyevet. And there's a Gersa that says it's only for Taros. That would be the second Derech. But that's not the Derech of the Gra, most Achronim. The Gra says, nope, Lamed Tes is the same as Lamed Hey. What he meant in Lamed Tes is, don't do it Lachachilah, but B'Diyevet is fine. And Yein Shomrim, that B'Diyevet is Ma'akev. And Zayin Ches and Tes are the same. What he meant was, don't do it Lachachilah, and Yein Shomrim Ma'akev. And Halach Lamai said, therefore, the Achronim Paskin, that. That there is room to be makel as well in Sif Lamed Tes. Okay, there's room to be makel as well in Sif Lamed Tes. If a woman did close her eyes too hard or open her eyes too hard in the mikvah, then there's room to be makel based on the girsa that says it's only for taros, not labala. Over here, it's a little tricky. You might not also have the taz. She might have closed her eyes too hard from before she went into the water. And therefore, bidi eved, what would we say? Let's just chazer for a second. That, halacha lemaisa, in Sif Lamed Tes and Zayin Teches, we say that bidi eved, if she can tovel again, she should. If she can't, then olsala, we're somech on the mekel girsa. Because again, all these are drabbanans, it's only a miut. So we're somech on the mekel girsa. In Sif Lamed Hey, where we also have the taz to rely on. So therefore, really bidi eved olsala, and we'd say proper to tovel again if it's convenient, but since you have more tzad mohakel in Sif Lamed Hey, because you also have the taz, not to mention you have my other derech of reading this, then there's more room to be mekel. Lamed Ches even more chomer. That's what the Shachir says. He says when you close your mouth, that is like super strong. People close their mouth much stronger than they close their eyes. Is that true? That's what he says, no? I feel my depolikan mode records us so said masnisini. Because that's a mission mikvos. There aren't two verses about it. So closing your mouth too hard is a real problem. And generally, you don't have the taz there, because no one walks into the mikvah with their mouth open and then closes it, right? Okay. I think that's what I said we would get to. Okay, we will call it a day from now, and we'll continue Amir Tzah Hashem on Tuesday.
So, B'di Yevich,
won't be made on 38 in Lamed Ches? No, in Lamed Ches, there's really no room to be in. There are two girsas. That's not found in Daf Sama Zayin Amad Aleph. That's found in a Mishnah Mikvot, where there aren't two girsas. So then I think that is that's a real problem. That's a real problem. Lamed Ches is a real problem. But again, you have to be very careful in these tefillah things for either OCD or misplaced Yirat Shamayim. OCD is a very serious problem where you need to send someone for therapy. And although therapy is very effective for OCD nowadays, no guarantees, misplaced Yirat Shamayim, you just need to give someone a little musr shmuz. And again, the way to tell the difference is, if this is something that someone is worried about too much, too often, then that's OCD. If it's something someone is only worried about once in blue moon, then that's your Shemayim. Maybe misplaced, maybe not. You have to try to figure it out. Okay.
I saw on the topic of plastic mikvahs, I saw somebody's trying to sell, I think it's a fiberglass mikvah, that he claims will revolutionize everything.
Ah, because fiberglass is very good at being waterproof.
Right. It's like, oh, this will change, right? Basically, he installs it, he installs it in your house, whatever.
And then it's so cheap.
And he claims to have big hachavos.
And you make it in your house.
His problem, right, and you put it in your basement. But the problem that I think the guy, I thought it was ridiculous, because he's very secretive about it, but he doesn't want people stealing his technology. But he's so secretive that you don't know the technology, so you don't know whether you possibly like it, and you don't know who the rabbanim who signed off on it were, because he's too secretive to tell you who the rabbanim are.
Sounds
so
iffy.
How can it work?
Did you ever read David Miller's book?
I don't know.
There was a rabbi, David Miller, who lived in America many generations ago.
Oh,
who wrote a book, Netzach Yisrael, about how in his days...
All the pipes are connected to the ground.
Right, in his days, no one went to mikvah. You know, in America in the old days, no one went to mikvah.
Yeah.
Pre-war. And they were even embarrassed to go to mikvah. So he had a whole book about how important it is to go to mikvah and how to build a mikvah in your house for $12.50.
Oh, I've seen that.
The closet mikvah, yeah. The closet mikvah, the dresser mikvah, etc. How to build a mikvah. No, that was for families in New York who had to hide from their neighbors that they went to mikvah. As strange as that sounds.
Out of more of the shema.
Yeah. Although, Agav, I have to tell you, I went to visit relatives a few weeks ago when I was up north. I have a relative, a cousin, like a brother of Menachem Borstein, if you heard of him from Pula, who married a... am I still on tape?
You are still on tape.
Okay, you can take some of this off.
I want to stop.